Accessing library computer data.
The world doesn't always adhere to logic. And sometimes when you're lost, you're found.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Discovery, our coverage of Discovery. It's 2018, late 2018. We're back with some shorts. They're going to be releasing four shorts over the next 4 months until Discovery returns in January of 2019. If you missed any of our previous Discovery coverage, you can check those out. The podcasts are all available. We covered every single episode, and then we give a wrap-up final video episode where we talked about the series at a whole, at length, on the whole, everything you want to say about that. Anyway, we're going to be back with the first short here, which is called Runaway. It is the first short of four. Came out on the 4th of October, 2018, written by Jenny Lumet and Alex Kurtzman, directed by Maha Vervio, I believe is how you pronounce that. Alex Kurtzman, who gets the co-writing credit, is the showrunner for season two. In this episode, Ensign Tilly encounters an unexpected visitor in need of help. However, this unlikely pair may have more in common than meets the eye. We're joined, as always, for this Discovery coverage by Clay. Clay, how are you?
I'm good. I'm really impressed that Star Trek Discovery chose, you know, you only have 15 minutes to do one of these stories, and I'm really impressed that they chose to do a remake of the Tom Selleck vehicle Runaways about the sentient robots that killed at the command of Gene Simmons.
You know, my favorite part about that movie is that when there's like a scene where they're in the police precinct of the future where robots are like, you know, doing everything and the cops are there, and they're like, why is Gene Simmons doing... They don't call him Gene Simmons in the movie, but you might as well just say it out loud.
they go, why
is Gene Simmons doing this? And someone just goes, he's just a bad guy. And that's like that's his motivation for the entire Runaway movie, which is...
Michael Crichton wrote that movie, by the way.
Yeah. Crichton has a...
He directed it too, I think.
Crichton's a power hitter of a writer. He turned out a lot of bad stuff, but like when he connected, he really connected and knocked it out of the park.
Yeah.
Let's see here. So anyway.
The little bit about Runaways is apparently that was that came out the same weekend as The Terminator.
Sure.
And everybody thought that Runaways was going to be like the big sci-fi movie of that weekend. And clearly they were right.
It tells you don't listen to the pundits. But we're going to talk about Runaway, the Star Trek episode. We're going to take a break. We're going to play an audio clip. Me and Clay are going to come back. We're going to break down the first Star Trek short called Runaway.
Did you know that Zahians are the only species that were born at the same time as our planet?
It's not possible. The temperatures would...
You have no idea what's possible. Zahians were born with our planet.
That means that you and your planet are...
Twins. Born at the same time. Grew up at the same time. There's always been a natural balance. A give and take. I've been mining the cave since I was little.
What do you mine on Zaya?
Dilithium.
Dilithium.
Search complete.
Okay, so Runaway. First of four new episodes that we got to talk about. It's 15 minutes long. It's on CBS All Access. I renewed my CBS All Access to be able to watch it. I'll get it out of the way first. I don't think anyone else should renew CBS All Access to get access to this thing.
More like rebooed. Because it's negative and also because it's Halloween time. So it's
appropriate.
It's a double layered pun.
So
it's what you get on this show.
I didn't think Runaway was very good. And I guess I'll open this, Clay, by saying what I would expect from the shorts. I thought that the short, there's been a split of opinion about whether the shorts are a good or bad thing. I was looking forward to the shorts. I thought that in a new digital era of things being streaming, the incredibly cynical take is, of course, they're making these so that people have to keep their subscriptions active because they're going to release these until they get back to the show, which is cynical.
As of a couple of years ago, this would have just been on YouTube. Basically.
Right. Yes, exactly. So now that they have their own subscription, you need to lock in, pay for it if you want to see it.
Yeah,
I'm fine with that. That's cynical. It is true. That is absolutely why they're doing it this way. However, I thought there was room where you could do these shorts, really flesh out things, and do something really interesting with the material in the franchise that they've never done before. Mm-hmm. And I was looking forward to that. I thought that they'd get more character-focused stuff. You could do sort of weird stuff that maybe doesn't have the juice to last 45 minutes, but you can make a cool episode in 15 minutes of it. And this first one at least misfires on pretty much everything I thought that the show should be doing with the shorts. I think my biggest problem is that it was Discovery's writing style simply truncated to 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is that it had an awful lot of information. It had dealt with a character, and I think the episode thinks it's telling you more about the characters than it actually is. And the incredible amount of information that you get in the episode causes me to have to rewatch it to make sure I didn't miss anything. And I didn't miss anything, but it's just way too much information for a short. Like, if you're doing a short like this, it has to be more cinematic, in my opinion, and it has to be more of a take on a very small item that you can go in depth on in a way in 15 minutes. It's not like a regular plotted episode. You have to do something special with these. You can't just write an episode and then shrink it out into 15 minutes, which is kind of what they do. But what did you think about it?
Well, I came into this with pretty much no expectations because, frankly, I forgot they were happening until you reminded me. And I'm trying to come into season two of Discovery with, you know, I'd like to clean the slate a little bit. You know, I was very, very negative on the first season. So I'm going to try and give the first season a bit of a mulligan and see if we can start fresh. And I kind of, I don't know. I guess it was fine. I know what you're saying because there was a certain part about halfway through where Tilly and Poe, is that what they call her?
Poe, yeah.
Are talking, and Poe gives this like long, long-winded explanation of what's going on and why she's there, blah 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 blah. And at a certain point, I realized I didn't take in any of that. And I was like, should I go back and watch it again? And then when I got to the end, I was like, no, none of that stuff mattered.
Yeah.
Because it was like the story that they were telling was extremely, it had nothing, like all of that stuff was just trappings. And it felt like to me, it felt like an after school special kind of, where it was like one person who's feeling one way meets another person who's feeling the same way. And then they both commiserate and go, you know what? Maybe we don't have things so bad. You know, be nice to your classmates.
Yep.
And, I just kind of felt, I don't know. I it was fine, I guess. I mean, I thought Tilly was pretty good. She seems to be consistently well acted.
Yep.
But yeah, overall, I didn't think like it really amounted to much.
I thought that the, there's two ways to go about this. You can, if you're going to do a short like this, I think it's not very helpful to introduce a character that you have to learn a lot about, which is what Poe does in this. Like, you can have a character who's kind of a cipher and just fades in and causes another character who we kind of know to have to deal with something. Or you can do what it looks like they're going to do in next month's episode, which looks a little bit better, which is a character we've never met before wakes up on the ship that's been abandoned. Mm-hmm. You can do that idea, I think.
Right.
You can't do this idea where Tilly's interacting with a creature that is putting 50% of the plot development onto because I don't care about this person.
Right.
And you were talking about an info dump. The entire thing to me felt like a Discovery info dump. I was actually impressed with the first maybe 2 minutes of this episode. I was like, oh, they're actually going to do cinematic stuff here. They did a lot of non-dialogue stuff of showing the alien. They had Tilly talking to her mother, which I thought was a good scene.
Mm-hmm.
And because we know about Tilly's relationship with her mother, we know that that is there until we see Tilly's frustration with it. And then you get introduced to Poe, and it goes from the escalation of is just bizarre. She goes like, oh, I'm a runaway. It's like, okay. She's like, oh, my planet is actually very important to the politics of the Federation. It's like, okay. Oh, I invented dilithium regeneration. Okay. Oh, by the way, I'm also the queen of my planet. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
did you ever see that old SNL skit with Kristen Wiig where she was like the asshole at the party who would just have to keep one-upping you?
No.
Every time you said something, so you'd be like, well, it's great that I got this chance because I just bought a new car and I'm really excited about it. She'd be like, well, I am a car, so I'm just a little bit better than you, you know, that kind of thing. But yeah, it's had that sort of escalation where it was just like, oh, okay, yes, this is just getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yep.
And it ends up not being about anything. The episode is trying to say that it's about Tilly, as you're saying, it's like Tilly and this Poe person realizing that they're both running away from their problems and maybe they should confront them instead. Mm-hmm. Like Tilly's mother is saying that you ran away from conflict when you were a child. I don't think it's right that you're signing up for the cadet command thing or whatever the hell is going on. And Poe is running away from her responsibilities as a queen and the inventor of this product and the like the ruler of this planet that the Federation is very interested in. It was way too much information. And then buried in the middle of it, I missed this the first time. There, what she's actually invented is kind of huge for the franchise. She's talking about the way that the warp ships are now in the future series able to continue to have dilithium in their engines. Like that's what she's talking about. She's talking about basically reinventing the warp drive system where they're not relying on something that's not dilithium. Like this is a very big thing, and I thought it was kind of stupid that they stuck that into a short that people might not watch. Like it's too big of an event to stick into something that, while it's canon, is kind of a one-off thing. Like I think the short should be revealed for small character stuff that isn't really all that impactful on the overall franchise like that.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, but like, is that really that impactful? I mean, I know it's impactful from like a history of the series in terms of like how you get down to the nuts and bolts of how things work, but like you're not going to spend a whole season arc about that, right?
No, but I think my point about it would be if you're unfamiliar with that, it's a pointless bit of information to the audience.
I would agree with that 100% because as I said previously, I didn't totally understand what she was talking about and it didn't really matter.
No, and I didn't know what she was talking about until I had read some reviews and I was like, oh my God, that is what they did. Like they stuck in such a, and it's not even the most important aspect of the episode. So maybe you could say that they're just kind of offhandedly mentioning this as kind of a wink wink thing, but I've complained in the previous Discovery episodes, this is too much Easter egg stuff. There's no reason to stick that into this short like this. And it comes across as just way too much information. And by the end of it, you're stuck in a place where you don't really know. I ended the episode saying, what was the point of that? Like, I feel like Tilly should have been the focus and she wasn't the focus. And then it just stuck me down this weird path of digging into the lore of Star Trek in a way that I didn't care about.
Well, they got you then, didn't they?
They got me to look at Memory Alpha, yeah, which maybe they have maybe a mistake.
I have a theory that the reason that they did this is because that dilithium shard is going to have some plot point that they bring back up in the second season.
Do you think like that's
they need,
fair?
They need to top the tank off or something, so she has to throw that in the tank.
It's like the scene from Alien 3 where Ripley falls into the fire. She just like falls in with her dilithium chip into the warp core or something.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Do you think I would say that that's probably not fair to put storyline stuff from the shorts into season two. I don't know.
No,
if
it's not.
I think you're joking.
It's definitely not fair, but I wouldn't put it past them to do it.
Okay. All right.
So I don't know if you've ever, do you remember the movie Southland Tales?
Or the guy that did Donnie Darko? It rings a bell. I don't remember it. Yeah.
Yeah. It was the guy that did Donnie Darko's follow-up movie and it had like a billion stars in it. And I haven't seen it, but everybody I know, save for one person who has seen it, thinks it's an incomprehensible mess. And it's one of those things where, on top of the movie, he also produced like four or five comic books that's like, well, if you read the comic books, then the movie makes perfect sense. And it's like, well, that's not how these things work. You know, what you're saying, I agree with. You can't put plot stuff inside stuff, but it doesn't stop people from doing it when they have stuff that doesn't make sense. So I hope they don't do that, but I wouldn't put it past them.
So give me you've been kind of quiet. You seem to be maybe overwhelmed by my negativity. You seemed you were kind of middling on it, but what was your expectation of the shorts? Were you more cynical and just like they're going to just cash this in, or did you think that there was actually room for growth? Because my optimism for season two was like, we'll start fresh here, do these shorts. Mm-hmm. These shorts seem like the perfectly artistic way that you could do a very small idea kind of neat, and let's see what they do. And this is what I got instead. But what would you think?
Yeah, I didn't have much of an expectation, but I feel like it ended up being more or less what I expected it would be, which is we're going to spotlight this character, and this character is going to go through a fairly benign, you know, 15-minute story. I don't know. I don't really know how I feel about it, to be honest with you, because it was – I didn't think it was exceptionally bad. I didn't think it was exceptionally good. And it just – like I said, overall, it felt like a middle school play.
Yeah.
I'm not totally sure where – what you're supposed to get out of it other than Tilly getting a confidence boost.
Did you find the production design odd? Because I'll say this, we knew that the second episode was going to be Guy wakes up on the abandoned Discovery and has to figure out what's going on. That's next month. This month, mm-hmm. they did a when they revealed, they were showing the trailer for this one, and I had something in the Discord of like, why is the ship always abandoned in all these shorts? And the looking at the reviews, it's obvious it's a production issue. They can't afford to pay people to fill the ship like right. this. So all the shorts have this weird, unauthentic thing where this one takes place in between shifts or something. Yes. That's the reason that yeah. there's nobody on the ship or that there's nobody on the mess hall or whatever Tilly's doing. It really sticks out to me. It sticks out like a sore thumb that they don't have the budget for this. So I was wondering, if you don't have the budget for it, why are you staging things in places that people should be? Like, just do it in quarters. Do it in closed place that makes sense for only one person to be, the captain's red room, the bridge, on off hours or something, like with only a handful of people. It struck me as, while I was watching the episode, just there's no reason for the ship to be this empty, and it feels like they're just hamstrung by budgetary issues here. And it came to my attention in a way that I don't think the show wanted it to, but it was very obvious when I was watching it.
Yeah, I would have saved the money they put into that wide shot of the what would you call it? The dock, the loading bay or whatever.
Cargo bay or whatever they were doing.
Yeah, this big CGI shot of the interior of the cargo bay where, you know, you're seeing ships taking off. And I get it, you know, it's Star Trek, you want to see that stuff. But if you don't have the money to pay extras to walk around the halls of your ship, maybe cut back on the CGI a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know. I agree though. It was, I feel like the mess hall is never going to be empty on a ship like that. There's always going to be people who are not on their shift who are going to be eating.
Yep.
But aside from that, though, most of it did take place in Tilly's quarters. So, I mean, I guess that kind of covered that. But, yeah, it did feel particularly empty there. I wasn't surprised, let's put it that way. Because, I kind of figured that's what it was going to be. I wasn't expecting mid-season finale level production budget. I was like, well, yeah, doing these side things, it's probably going to be a couple characters and there's going to be a small problem that they have to solve and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which is more or less what it is. But I don't know. I don't know what I would have done production-wise to cover that up.
I mean,
if you can't tell, I'm just generally kind of underwhelmed by it. I mean, I don't have really that hot of a take on it because it's, I don't know. It was fine.
Yeah. I guess I think that it was less than fine. I think it's a big misfire of what you should be doing with these things.
I don't disagree with you. I mean, if you have the opportunity to do these things, then I mean, I would love it if they took the chance to do something a little bit weirder and a little bit more creative. But I mean, you know, let's not forget what show we're talking about.
Right.
That was first season, Clay. I didn't mean to say that.
But I mean, that's what, you know, we could be forgiven for thinking that about the first season. There's a lot of excuses. You know, showrunner Brian Fuller quits. The staff is in turmoil. They're not getting the production out as fast. So you think that maybe they had to do some cuts. They couldn't make the scripts make sense. They couldn't just tie it all together. This mm-hmm. is fresh material, and it's exactly the same writing style as they had in the first season. So in my mind, it's not a good indicator of, and it's only for this first one. I'm not going to cast off the whole thing, but it's only a quality indicator of what they want. This is what they seem to want the series to be. Like, this is the goal, to make it this kind of storytelling, which is info dump heavy, a ton of exposition, Easter eggs nonstop, and not a lot of interesting character work. We're recording this against Crossfire, and it's going to be an interesting comparison there, but it's like, it's nothing like Crossfire, the DS9 episode. And it doesn't have to be like Crossfire, but do something with the idea. It's just weird that it's so, it was so fast-paced and so pointless that you walk away sort of after your first watch going, I don't, what was I supposed to get from that? What happened here? What did I learn about Tilly?
Yeah, does Tilly even, I mean, they clearly set her up with a bit of a personal stake. Well, stake isn't the right word, but like...
insight, I think, right?
She has the scene with her mother is very clearly positioning her in a certain state of mind. And with a roadblock that she needs to get over. And I don't necessarily know that she does that here. It's more like she meets someone who's done way more than she has, and she's like, wow, that's pretty cool. You know?
And then
I should probably work harder.
Yeah, and then convinces that person to overcome the problem. It's just, it's the wrong idea for a short. It's too complicated of an idea that you have to... You have a problem, you meet somebody, you convince them over the course of 8 minutes to not do the mistake that you made and then send them on their merry way.
Like, it's like when anytime that I go to Starbucks and I order a decaf coffee and they don't make it decaf, I have to then spend 8 minutes explaining to them why they need to make me a new coffee.
Right. And they're like, is Glay here? Is there a Glay here? And you're like, yes, that's my decaf.
Close enough.
Yeah, I mean, that's... You know, I think the way that you kind of fix this and the way that I would want to see it is that I liked the opening scenes all the way through Tilly talking to her mother. You have the theme of not running away come into some smaller conflict, not giving up. Like, maybe she gets into an argument with another cast member that we know. Maybe they don't want to pay them. But you get into an argument with someone who is irrelevant to the story outside of bringing that issue to Tilly. And Tilly perseveres through it over the course of 15 minutes. It could be a tiny minor issue, but she perseveres through it and doesn't give up. And that's it. You learn something about Tilly. Tilly does not persevere through anything here. She meets an alien, says, don't run away. That's bad. I was told not to run away. The alien says, you convinced me. Let's be friends. By the way, I'm a queen. Tilly says, oh my God, I'll beam you out of here. And that's the end. It was just silly.
How come like Stamets isn't there? Or so, like, I feel I like she needs somebody... Them. Well, yeah, yes. I mean, assuming that's not an issue.
Sure, sure.
I feel like there should have been a third character with which Tilly could butt heads with, in terms of like, so you've got, let's say you take Stamets, right? So you've got Tilly and you've got the Queen Lady and you've got Stamets. The Queen Lady is trying to run away from whatever and she's blah, blah, blah. And Tilly's like, all right, you can't do that. You need to go back and take control of your life or whatever. But Stamets is like, well, maybe we hang on to her and we, you know, check out this new technology or so. You know, to have some sort of push or pull where Tilly then has to make a decision based on, well, the best thing for the ship might be to exploit the technology that this woman has access to and has created and is, you know, the blueprints are in her head, as they say in The Rock.
Yep.
Or send her back to her planet so she can take care of her planet, which is, you know, she refers to as her twin sister and is like a part of her. And the fact that she's not there, she's the queen. The fact that she's not there is going to be greatly damaging to the planet. Have Tilly have to make a decision, you know, instead of just like regurgitating advice that she herself doesn't take.
Right. And the decision would tie into the fact that she's in this command training thing. Like, they don't really tie that back in. She doesn't have any point where she has to make a command decision about what to do. She makes suggestions to a friend, apparently. And I think that's the problem. I agree with you.
Yeah. Bring in some assholes from Red Squad. I don't know.
Right. Exactly. We need to bring them back. That's about it. Did you have anything else you wanted to talk about this one?
This one particularly, no. But I would like to say, again, this might be a little bit of season one clay creeping through. I saw the trailer, the new trailer this, for the season two. Not thrilled that George Yao is still there. I was kind of hoping we were done with her, but apparently that's not the case.
I was impressed with I think the guy's name is Anson Mount. His portrayal of Pike, I thought, was interesting. He had the lines in the trailer that I was like, oh, that's kind of a cool. They were cool quotes, but they were kind of a pretty interesting thing about, like, I'm not leaving anyone behind. Like, that's the promise of Starfleet is that no one gets left behind, is a Pike line, which is which will be interesting. They had a lot of shots in that asteroid field or whatever. Hopefully that's just one episode that they spend there. And then what did you think of Bearded Spock?
Sure.
Yeah, sure. I can't believe they're bringing Spock back.
So that means that he's like probably showing up fairly quickly, right? Like they set this season up as basically Star Trek Discovery season 2: The Search for Spock.
Yep.
But then they show him in the trailer, so he's probably showing up sooner than later. So then they can, you know, he and Burnham can be like, I had the same vision about a red angel or whatever the fuck that thing is.
Yep. No, it's
Do you have any? Is that red angel thing anything that pre-exists? Is there any theory
about
that?
Not that I've read. I don't know anything that it could be, unless they do some sort of tie-in. I know that the Talosians, which were the mental aliens from the cage, the big-headed guys, they are in this season of Discovery.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, so I don't know if that's supposed to be tied back to them or something, but the producers did announce that. I'm not considering that a spoiler. Anything the producers say is not a spoiler to me.
Is the cage going to happen like at the end of the season? Like if you go back in continuity, is there like a scene right before the cage happens where Spock has to like, you know, get over his PTSD and shave his beard, and then it's like, oh, by the way, we're going down to this weird planet, Spock?
I'm not sure. I forget what the timeline is. I need listener Kyle, who's a big timeline guy, to fill us in about what the timeline is. I don't know how much earlier this is than The Cage actually comes out. I think it's a couple of years, but I'm not sure. Outside of that, the trailer was more of the same to me.
Lots of spinning cameras.
Lots of spinning cameras, lots of dramatic stuff being said, lots of shooting, lots of running.
You know what I noticed in this short that is a technique that they do that I really don't like, is what, like, I think it was when the food replicator was exploding and like throwing everything out, which is actually not entirely dissimilar to Runaways, the movie.
That's true.
they do this thing where they like cut frame, so it's like a strobe effect where they just like cut in black frames. Yeah. And I find it really. I mean, I know the point is to be disorienting, but I don't know. I kind of feel like it's kind of cheating.
Yeah, yeah. It's a very modern action.
You see it in trailers a lot.
Yeah.
It's very, like, at the high point of a trailer, they do that a lot to really, like, amp up the intensity and disorientation of the trailer and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I can't get too, going back to the Discovery season 2 trailer, I can't get too into the trailers because they never amount to what the season actually is. But it's, so far it seems like more of the same. Nothing really changed it for me. Still somewhat optimistic. I'm very optimistic for this next short because the idea seems right. It was written by Michael Chabon, who's the Pulitzer winner that they've hired.
Oh.
So maybe we'll have a script that actually has something to say.
Is it going to... Judging by the preview, it just looked like a remake of that episode of Deep Space Nine where
Distant
Bashir,
Voices.
Yeah. We all know how much I like that episode.
We need a callback to the lizard psychic guy, so this will be our opportunity to do it. Turns out Michael Chabon is a huge fan of Distant Voices, and he was willing and able to be able to write this episode. Anyway, we're done.
Great name for a Star Trek-based, like, 80s new romantic-style band, by the way, Distant Voices.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Till Tuesday, Distant Voices. That's about it. Runaway, we're done. We're not going to rate these. We'll just sort of compare them against each other, I guess, when we're done. We didn't rate the Discovery episodes anyway. But
did we not? That's probably for the best.
Yeah. I think you kind of need a little bit of time away from them to do anything. But no, that's about it. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for supporting the show. You can check out all the social media links. There'll be Facebook, Twitter, Discord, all down below.
I have a big question for you before we go.
Oh, sure. One second. Let me run through all this garbage. Patreon.com/The Penske File. If you want to support the show, you go there. A couple dollars a month. You get extra stuff. All the $10 captain level patrons get a shout out. Stephen Cobb, Jay Stanley, Mike, David K., Nick Sergey, Nathan Elliott, Michael Pond, Matthew Cutler, Will Yates, Matt Flores, Samuel Custer, Santos Gonzalez, Robert Cummins, Andrew Cherlog, Spinobi, Russ Graham, Eric C. Johnson, Decker Sebastiani, Neil Brennan, Bradley Killens, Mike Burnett, Matthew Ross, Ben Douglas, Cal Barrett, Joint Mango, Tarek Latif. Thank you for supporting the show, guys. Clay, what did you have to say?
Are you going to rewatch any of season one before season two?
I'll rewatch all of it, I think. Yeah.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
I'll let you know how it goes. I don't expect you to, but I do think if I have time, I'll just have it running in the background, I think.
Good luck.
Good luck. I'll keep everyone posted on this. I feel like I need to punish myself by reading these Star Trek books, which I'm going to have a review out for soon, and then watching Discovery Season 1. Anyway, check out the DS9 coverage. It's a little bit different than the Discovery coverage. But let's try to be positive, Clay, shall we, going into Season 2, as you say, and then for the rest of the shorts, we'll make a promise to ourselves and our listeners that positivity is the name of the day.
Yes, and maybe. Yes is a positive statement, so we're off to a good start.
Yes, and I am excited about the next one. I do think that's a good, that's the idea that a short should have. We'll see how it pans out. But anyway, Clay, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Guys, thank you very much for listening. You can check out patreon.com, check out all the social media links, all that stuff. And otherwise, we'll be continuing our DS9 coverage soon. And let us know what you thought about the short Runaway. Let us know what you think about the upcoming shorts, all that stuff. We'll try to get the next one's out a little bit sooner. Time is this has not been a week of free time, unfortunately.
Why is that?
Listen to the DS9 episode to figure out why. How's that?
Ooh,
that's how you link. That's how you link content right there.
And now for the conclusion.
Guys, we'll see you next time.